Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, be with us. Lord, be our teacher. Open our hearts and our minds. Allow us to see your Son. Lord, let us gather in this place to worship him. Let Christ be exalted. So many brethren that's suffering in trials, Lord, refine them as you refine the gold. Till that final day, Lord, make this word necessary as their food for them. What a comfort. What a peace we can have in trial knowing our Savior. We'll be with your pastors everywhere this morning that preach your word faithfully. Give them boldness. Give them that unction. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen. All right, brethren, we will be turning to Job 23. Job 23. A lot of theologians have a lot of different words for how you preach. It's expositional, topical. The theories behind developing a message. I hope I can just talk to you today. But many times, you ever got a question when you feel... You know that person asks you a question just so you can say something so they can tell you what they know. That happens a lot, don't it? Sometimes I get a phone call or I talk to somebody in person. And they'll ask me questions like, do you preach the full gospel? Anytime somebody asks me that, I've found it to be there is one or two aspects of a gospel that's in their head that they're harping on. They want the full gospel, but they only see one or two things. Or they say they want true worship. Oh, we having true worship there. There'll be one or two aspects. It'll be praying or reading or singing or kneeling or whatever they think it is. No, well, they want to know that. But I remember whenever I was a teenager, I was hungry. I grew quick. I used to be kind of short. And I grew fast. And I'd come home and I'd say, Mom, what's for dinner? And she said, well, we're going to have some carrots and we're going to have some peas and some mashed potatoes. And I said, yeah, but what's for dinner? So I'm going to have some rolls, and we'll probably have a salad. And then afterwards, we might have some dessert. And I said, but what's for dinner? Well, we're having pork chops. That's what's for dinner. Those other things are good. We need salad. We need vegetables. We need some fruit. Every now and then, we need a little piece of dessert, too, don't we? Worry about that meat. I need that meat. I need those other things here and there, but I need the meat. But anyway, today... I wanted to touch on something. I started listening to a message I'd listened to years ago. I grew up in church. I grew up under a faithful man of God that told us who God was and told us who man was ever since I was a little tiny boy. I grew up there. I was made to go to church every week and twice on Sunday. That's a funny joke if you're from where I go from. But many years ago, one day, this great big man from another church came to preach for us. Huge man. Very large, loud, booming voice. His name was Maurice. And he stood up in that pulpit and he talked about God's sovereignty. And he began that message by saying, Let God, what? And over and over, he just kept driving that point home. And that day, I could not turn my attention away. I was a young person sitting there in a pew, and I would try to think of anything else to make that painful hour and a half go by faster. I would think about my four-wheeler, what kind of riding boots I was going to get, where was I going to go fishing that evening, what kind of bait was I going to use, anything I could think of to make it time pass faster. But that day, I couldn't stop listening to that big man up there. He was preaching, and I couldn't turn my ear away. I tried. Couldn't quit it. I was reading, I was thinking about that. I reflect on it often, and I was thinking about one verse that he talked about. And I thought I was going to do a topical message, and then I think I read the verses before, read the verses after, and I think we're going to stay pretty close to Job 23 today. But let's read this larger portion of text here. Job 23 and verse 8. Behold, I go forward, and he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider. I am afraid of him, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Millions of people are gathered today around this world in what they call churches. There's a man standing up in front of them. He's got a Bible. He reads the words out of that Bible. He talks to those people. They may sing some songs. Someone's going to pray. Someone's going to just read the scriptures. All those elements are going to be there. They may take the Lord's table. And they say a lot of words that we may say, that I say. But the vast majority of those people do not know who they're worshiping. They do not know God. So many people that read their Bibles often. They read them in those churches or they read them at home. They read them every day. They see the same words that you and I just read. They read those same words. And they say horrible things. Ignorant things. Disgusting things. They say things like God wants to do something. They say that God needs something. He's trying to do something. They say that men and women must let God get what He wants. They must let God get what He needs. They must let God try. Blasphemy. What horrible, wicked blasphemy. I hear somebody say that about my God, and I get a little fiery. We'll see that in tonight's message. I want to chop somebody's ear off. I get mad. That hurts me. You talk about my wife, talk about my father, my mother, I'm going to get mad. You talk about my God, I'm going to get mad. That hurts me. They're degrading and belittling concerning the true and living God. But they read the same words in this Bible. How can they read the Bible so much and not see the power, the authority, the holiness, and the completeness of God? Is it the book's fault? God forbid. It's the person's fault. It's the reader's fault. Why? There's sin in us. There's sin in us, and that's the problem. Just as Eve was beguiled by that serpent, what'd she do? She turned the Word to God. She heard the Word, and she turned it just a little bit to suit her. She put a spin on it, and that's what happens today. People put a spin on God's Word that's so plain and so clear. It's in English. It's in black and white. We read it. Well, it's going to be better. You go looking for a yes, you're going to find it. Well, that's dangerous. Dangerous. And they call it a gospel. And it's no gospel at all. There's no good news there. It's a covenant of works. I want to cover just a few aspects of God this morning. Who we think He is not who the Bible says He is for most people. Not who our loved ones told us He is, what the Scriptures say about Him. Not who our co-workers or friends who say He is, but who He says He is. That's what I want to look at. And we cannot see God in the flesh. There's a lot of people out there saying they've seen God, that they've audibly heard the Lord speak to them. I would encourage you to seek medical advice. Now, that doesn't happen in our day. The apostolic era is over. We can't heal folks. We don't communicate directly with God. He has wisdom put in place. His wisdom. But it's not so. We have His recorded Word. We have the Word of life. And it's preserved for us. We have these Scriptures. We can look at that and we can hear what He says. And we pray that God will reveal Himself in His Word to us. That's our hope. But let's see what Job had to say. He was a righteous man. The Lord said he was righteous. He was upright and perfect before the Lord. He was a sinner saved by grace, wasn't he? One of God's elect. There in Job 23, verse 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right, and I cannot see him." God is working all around us, and we don't see it. Sin's blinded our eyes, and we don't see it. And we act like people that don't see it. Believers are brought to know some things in this world. We are taught of God through the preaching of His gospel. And throughout our lives, we hear this word preached faithfully, week in and week out. Then we experience some things in our lives. We gently begin to see that God's working around us. We're told plainly that He works all things. But we start to finally get a hold of it in our lives. We start just a little bit to get a hold of that. He works all things. We are made to acknowledge that the Lord, who is Spirit, we do not see, is accomplishing things in our lives all around us. I can go on for a long time about it, but whenever you take water and you freeze it and it gets bigger when it's ice, you break something, bust something in your freezer, the angle of those molecules, of those hydrogens, change whenever it stops moving. Who controls that? Who designed that? Boy, that's reflected throughout creation. Who come up with that one? Lord controls ice. We'll see that. He controls everything. We start to know Him ever so slightly, but the entire time He fully knows us. Fully knows us. He knows all things and is the ruler of all things, whether we know it or not. He performs all things and is the ruler of all things, whether we like it or not. We do not validate God's existence on His throne. He is God. What can we look at in our lives that can give us just a poor example of that? We have a president. You can not know anything about him. You can hate him. And you want him out of there, not agree with anything he says. He's still there. One person ain't going to do it. You can love him, know everything about him, agree with everything he says, and that ain't going to keep him there. Lord put him there. Lord's on his throne in all things. Almighty God knows his people. He loves them. He provides for them. He chastens them. He saves them. He redeems them. He keeps them. And he conforms them to the image of Christ in our new hearts on this earth and fully in body and spirit. Whenever he's done with us on this earth, when our race is run, we're made to be like Christ. Job 23:10 there says, "But he knoweth the way I take." He knows the steps we take. He knows the feelings we experience. Christ was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We do not have a sovereign God that understands us. He knows us. We all know how much suffering and heartache Job went through. We've read this many times throughout our lives. One trial after another, severe trials. He didn't get a splinter. He didn't stub his toe. That man had trials. Was the Lord just watching? Was he just a spectator, knowing Job's steps that Job chose to take? God forbid. Of course not. Through God's permissive will, he brought Job to the attention of Satan. He set the bounds of that trial. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "Yeah, you won't let me touch him. I ain't wasting my time on him." He said, "Go ahead. Can't kill him. Do whatever you want to him." He set the bounds of that trial. Satan was the tool for that job. We're going to see that here in just a second. Look here at verse Job 23:10, "For he knoweth the way that I take, and he hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold." Well, did the Lord know his way? The Lord set his way, didn't he? How did he do it? I thought Satan put them bulls on him, took all his crops. I thought Satan, that evil thing, took his cattle from him, killed his children. Is that what happened? Lord did it. Through his permissive will. He's a tool. I got a bunch of tools at the house. I had to use one yesterday. I have a multimeter. I can check ohms and microfarads and currents and all kinds of stuff. It ain't cheap. It's a nice thing. I take good care of it. I put it in a case. I take the batteries out as soon as I'm done using it. I don't want corrosion in that thing. Oh, I take care of it. It's a tool. I use it in my hand. Do I have some things that are unpleasant? I got a plunger. Is it used? What hand uses it? Same hand that uses that big old fancy thing. We're in the Lord's hands. But the Lord refined Job that whole time, keeping him, preserving him to the final end. That's what we looked at a couple weeks ago. That's the perfecting to his end. What? To bow to Christ. Bowing to the Lord. Looking to Christ for all things. Worshiping Christ alone. Why would God make his children go through so much? Why wouldn't he just say, you're like me, and we don't have to be in this world? In the life of a believer, we experience so many ups and downs. Many of us have small trials. Some of us have many big trials. But we see the Lord working his good pleasure through it all. We're brought to see our weakness and his strength during these times. We are comforted knowing the Lord, who loved us first, is the one that is trying us. He's the one that puts us in that fire to refine us. We are given faith to believe our Savior during those things. That's where the faith comes from. That's where it's strengthened. Peter wrote, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Those trials are fiery. They burn, don't they? They sting. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We do not see with our physical eyes Christ working in and around us majority of the time. Those things are revealed to us here and there. Boy, it's precious, isn't it? You say, oh, look how the Lord worked that out. I couldn't have planned it any better. Everything's going just, I think, it's south. It's getting worse. There could be no good come from this. And then 5 years later, 2 years later, 20 years later, oh, boy, look at that. I couldn't have planned it better. But we begin to see His hand ruling and reigning all things over time, don't we? Look here in verse Job 23:11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Christ commands the steps of his sheep and given to us and taken away from us and all throughout our lives. He sends times of joy and he sends times of sorrow. He directs our way. He keeps us from wavering throughout our path. Throughout our race. We may stumble. We may stagger. But we do not turn from His path. His path. We do not go back from His commandment. And like Job, we're made thirsty and hungry for that food. It's necessary. More than our daily food. We see our need of Christ. That's what we looked at Wednesday. Our thirst for that gospel. We've got to be thirsty in a dry land. He makes us that way. Some will say, see there at that text you just read, we have to walk in God's path. We have to keep His way. We got to go out for a jog, make ourselves hungry. We got to work up our own appetites. There in verse 12 it says, He's not turned in this race of life from the commandment of His lips. The entirety of a believer's life is commanded from the lips of God. The God of the Bible. If He commands something, does it happen? It does, don't it? Has so far in everything. If He says it, it's going to come pass. Oh, what confidence. What a God. He said, let there be light. Did the light decide that it was going to follow the commandment of His lips? Did the light choose to come on? No, there was light. Let there be light. Light. He said, let the waters go in one place and let the dry land appear. There in Genesis 1:9 it says, and so it was. The grass of the fields, and it was so. Let the creatures of the land and the sea come forth. And it was so. The stars, the sun, the moon, the greater light and the lesser light. It was so. We can't get to the moon if we really want to. You can fly, you can try, it might blow up, you might hit a bird, might run out of gas. Lord made that moon. Hung it. He's the God of creation. He commanded into existence creation, and He commands creation every moment of every day. We see tsunamis. We see these natural disasters in our lives. Tornadoes, earthquakes. We see tsunamis taking out vast numbers of people. Some folks say, I don't like that. I don't think God would do that. Well, make Him quit. You go stand out on the beach if you know it's coming. Hold your hands up. See how it works out for you. You can't stop Him. Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All creation. Visible and invisible. Stuff we see, stuff we don't see. Whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him. That's something. He set it in motion, didn't He? We have a governor. They're trying to get rid of Him down there at Target every other week. And then the opposite weeks are trying to keep Him in there. Who put Him there? Christ put Him there. Why? All things were created by Him, comma, and for Him. You think He's able to put who He wants there? Who am I to complain? He said to Peter, what's it to you? We just hush. We're getting fed. The Lord loved us. We're sons of God. He'll take care of it. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Christ, the Almighty God, sustains and controls all things. All things. What's that leave out? What's put in my hand for me to handle? What's put in my hand for me to worry about? What battle do I have to fight? All things. I wish I... Give me 35 minutes after we get out of here. I need to do something. What's wrong with me? It's like there's two men inside of me fighting all the time, isn't it? He turns the hearts of men at His pleasure through His power in this earth and in spirit. At His word. At His command. He's the God of providence. Turn over just a few pages there to Job 37. Be looking at Job 37:5. I need to hurry. Christ rules over thrones, principalities, powers, either through His word or through His thought or through the creation He provided. His will is accomplished. What He wants, it's done. Job 37, verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He which we cannot comprehend. I get prideful and I think I can. We can't comprehend it. Verse 6. For He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of His strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man. Why would He seal up our hands? That all men may know His work. What is our will and providence compared to God? What's man's plans? My flesh says, I'm going to go to rescue Thursday. And Clay's going to fly up to rescue, and I'm going to go up there and preach for him. My new man says, if the Lord's pleased to let me do so, I'll go to rescue Thursday. Why? He might send a great rain or a lot rain. Me and Kimberly were trying to come here. We had to land a couple hours north. You can rent a car and drive down. We were often reminded of this in New Jersey. They got Washington's Crossing. When Washington crossed the Delaware, there's a little state park there and stuff. They always have that picture of him, and they can argue it all they want, I don't care. They got a picture of him on a boat, and the waves are cresting, and that boat ain't that far out of the water. If you've ever been on a boat, he's about to sink. He's going to get swamped. They didn't take all them men, all them horses, and all them provisions across that river raging in the middle of winter like that in New Jersey. It's cold. That river was frozen. They walked across it. Where would our nation be if the Lord didn't breathe and freeze that river? Oh, what a sweet ride. 15 minutes. from Ewing, from a church. Go up there and think about those things. But think about this. How many nations have been preserved or brought down to its knees because God sent a dream? You put a dream in somebody's mind at night. Our hands are sealed. And we know it. And it's so all men know that the Lord's working. Through God's creation, through God's holy providence, He uses all manner of means, all of these things, to save His people. It's sure. It's going to happen. To have them declare that Christ is holy, Christ is all-powerful, and He's all. He'll use every bit of it. This physical earth, all the principalities, powers, dominions, and weather, and everything, providence, to bring us to say Christ is all. It's going to happen. He'll call out His people. I'm sure of it. Why? He's a God of salvation. Our God is God. Through all the joy, the grace, the mercy, the trials, the natural disasters, kings, rulers, whatever their decisions are, Christ brings each one of His elect to declare with King Nebuchadnezzar what He said. He, remember him? He's King of Babylon, big old strong man, powerful man. He was brought down to walk around on all fours and eat grass like a cow. He was crazy. Lord's sovereign in salvation, He is. If you think He's not, what happens if I get bopped on the head? If He's not the God of providence, if a brick falls off a building downtown, hits me on the head, and I lose my mind, I have amnesia. What about my confession of faith? Oh, what about me knowing Him? It ain't in my hands, is it? Praise God, it ain't what I know, what I think. But Nebuchadnezzar said that. Lord gave His mind back to him. And he said, at the end of the days of Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay His hand and say unto Him, what doest thou? Do you think it's worth it for Nebuchadnezzar to walk around eating that grass on all fours for a while? Is it worth it for us when we go through a trial? Something horrible. There ain't never going to be an end to this. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And the Lord brings us out and we're comforted and we see Him as God. Oh, that's a relief. That's peace. What a blessing. What a blessing. Those who believe Christ, that's so. When the Spirit convicted us of sin, gave us comfort, knowing that Christ died for us, why He had to die, that He was successful in satisfying that holy justice of the Father, He preserves us, and He'll conform us to His image. Did you declare that God's sovereign in all things? He's mighty, He's powerful, He'll do what He wants. He's holy. His wisdom is perfect, and we're nothing. That's what we're brought to declare. And here's what Job said back in Job 23:13. Job 23:13. But God is in one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. God is of one mind. That means there is no one with Him giving Him advice. He's in one mind. No one's there to counsel Him. He does not seek counsel with us. He performs His will in all things, and no one can turn Him. We cannot, we should not, and we will not misdirect His will. Just like stopping that tsunami. It ain't going to happen. If Christ does a work in your heart, you will not want to bend God's will. Look here in verse 14. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him. All those things that are appointed for me, they reside in Him. What was appointed for me and you? God of creation, physical life. Are we sitting here? Well, yeah, I'm alive. Prove it. I'm here. Lord made us physically. God of creation made us. What we consider joyous times and sorrowful times, we've all experienced those. Everybody here could tell a story about having a happy day and a sad day, even the youngest one of us. What's that? God of providence. He made me alive. He gave me good times, bad times, trials. Where'd he bring me? Most precious one of all. Our salvation in Christ the God-man. He ruled and reigned in the hearts of all creation to bring us all the way to the feet of Christ. Make us bow to him. I'm glad I was born. I'm glad I experienced everything I experienced in my life to bring me to hear that great big man stand up and preach to me. A man who told me what man, what humans truly are and what God truly is. You say the same thing? I'm thankful. As a poor, pitiable 20-something-year-old suing his parents because he said he didn't choose to be alive. Take care of him. What's wrong with you? God's saints won't sue him that he has to take care of us because we didn't ask to be alive. Oh, we'll ask, won't we? What a beautiful life he's given us. All of it. We experience salvation. We learn of God's authority and ruling everything and the excellency of his power. And we fear him. We fear him. We have a healthy physical fear of him. Man was more blasphemous than what I started with today. And he said, the Lord couldn't strike me with lightning if he wanted to. We was out in the middle of the woods. And buddy, I moved. I may get singed by proximity. I don't want to be close to you. I'm not tempting the Lord. But we have a spiritual fear. And being afraid is a good thing. But we fear him in honor and respect. We're not just afraid of him. We fear him in honor. We honor him. We respect him. We're brought to bow before him. Look here in Job 23:15. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. That heart of stone that hated God, it was so self-righteous, it was so pious, thought so much of itself, so prideful, it was made soft. It was given life. You ever been in a dark place and went to grab your phone or remote or something, and you grab something and it's hard? You might know that's it, you might not know that's it. Have you ever went and grabbed something hard? Like a rock or whatever, and hit wasn't hard. You grab something soft, whoo! There might be life in that thing. That might bite you. God gives his eternal children life, eternal life. He softens our heart. He puts life in us, and he troubles us. That word there, Job says, I'm troubled in his presence, and the Almighty troubleth me. That word means tremble. We tremble at his presence. We tremble before him in honor and praise. There are, in the bulletin today, there's an article by Brother Moose Parks about peculiar people. Read that. Those words mean something different nowadays than what they was when they was written. We got to look those things up. Got to see what they mean. Lord troubles us. I pray he'd make us tremble. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, give us a glimpse of your power and majesty and make us trust you. What happy creatures we would be, Lord. What peaceful people, to joyous walking through this world knowing that our Father's in heaven, ruling and reigning all things. And let us tremble, Lord. Let us worship Christ and praise him. Forgive us. Forgive our sin, Lord. We do that which we don't want to do, and we don't do that which we do want to do. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for your Son. Lord, bless your word today. It's in his name that we ask it. Amen.